This is Read On Air.
Over the years, more than a few authors have sought to distance themselves from the screen adaptations of their books. Truman Capote said that Audrey Hepburn's portrayal of Holly Golightly made him want to throw up. Stephen King loathed what Kubrick did to The Shining. And Roald Dahl didn't have a good word to say about any of the movies of his books, least of all Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. In many cases, the author is right. The book is better than the film it spawns. Even the most skilled filmmaker can't condense a 300-page book into a 90-minute movie without making some major sacrifices. Maybe that's why some of the best adaptations come from short stories or novellas. Today's Educating Red is a case in point. When author Annie Proulx first saw the 2005 film of her 64-page short story, Brokeback Mountain, she confessed she was so happy she was knocked into a loop. Despite being filmed in the Canadian Rockies for the most part, rather than Wyoming, where she set it, Proulx has praised the faithfulness of the adaptation, saying, "I may be the first writer in America to have a piece of writing make it to the screen, whole and entire." Ang Lee's movie went on to win 3 Oscars, including that for Best Adapted Screenplay. And certainly when I came to read it recently, years after first watching the film, I immediately recognised the emotional power and poignancy I'd so loved in the film. The story is one of 11 contained in a collection of Proulx's short fiction called Close Range, Wyoming Stories. In case you're not familiar with it, Brokeback Mountain follows Ennis and Jack, two young cowboys who meet in the summer of 1963. They're thrown together in the lonely wilderness of the Wyoming mountains and form an intense relationship.
"Too late to go out to them damn sheep," said Ennis, dizzy drunk on all fours, one cold hour when the moon had notched past 2. The meadow stones glowed white-green, and a flinty wind worked over the meadow, scraped the fire low, then ruffled it into yellow silk sashes. "Got you an extra blanket, I'll roll up out here and grab 40 winks. Ride out at first light. Freeze your ass off when that fire dies down. Better off sleeping in the tent. Doubt I'll feel nothing." But he staggered under canvas, pulled his boots off, snored on the ground cloth for a while, woke Jack with the clacking of his jaw. "Jesus Christ, quit hammering and get over here. Bedroll's big enough," said Jack in an irritable, sleep-clogged voice. It was big enough, warm enough.
The tale of their love for each other and the fear and hatred it arouses in themselves and in others is both brutal and beautiful.
What Jack remembered and craved in a way he could neither help nor understand was the time that distant summer on Brokeback when Ennis had come up behind him and pulled him close, the silent embrace satisfying some shared and sexless hunger. They had stood that way for a long time in front of the fire, its burning, tossing ruddy chunks of light, the shadow of their bodies a single column against the rock. The minutes ticked by from the round watch in Ennis's pocket, from the sticks in the fire settling into coals. Stars bit through the wavy heat layers above the fire. Ennis's breath came slow and quiet. He hummed, rocked a little in the sparklight, and Jack leaned against the steady heartbeat, the vibrations of the humming like faint electricity, and, standing, he fell into sleep that was not sleep, but something else, drowsy and tranced, until Ennis, dredging up a rusty but still usable phrase from the childhood time before his mother died, said, "Time to hit the hay, cowboy. I gotta go. Come on, you're sleeping on your feet like a horse," and gave Jack a shake, a push, and went off into the darkness. Jack heard his spurs tremble as he mounted, the words, "See you tomorrow," and the horse's shuddering snort, grind of hoof on stone. Later, that dozy embrace solidified in his memory as the single moment of artless, charmed happiness in their separate and difficult lives. Nothing marred it, even the knowledge that Ennis would not then embrace him face to face, because he did not want to see nor feel that it was Jack he held. And maybe, he thought, They'd never got much farther than that. Let be. Let be.
Like all the stories in Close Range, the vast and desolate landscape of Wyoming looms over the characters and makes their struggle for survival against elements greater than themselves seem puny and doomed. A perfect backdrop for tragic heroism. Prue refuses to back away from the harshness and violence of small-town American rural life, and her empathy makes that struggle something we can all identify with. Close Range was recommended to me by an American friend in the wake of the US presidential election. You've got to understand the context, he told me. A lot of folks just want hope. It doesn't matter who's giving it or whether it's real. Like Annie Prue writes, people in hell just want a drink of water. That's the title of one of her best short stories, and in many ways sums them all up.
Well, see you around, I guess. The wind tumbled an empty feed bag down the street, till it fetched up under his truck. Right, said Jack, and they shook hands, hit each other on the shoulder. Then there was 40 feet of distance between them, and nothing to do but drive away in opposite directions. Within a mile, Ennis felt like someone was pulling his guts out hand over hand, a yard at a time. He stopped at the side of the road and, in the whirling new snow, tried to puke, but nothing came up. He felt about as bad as he ever had, and it took a long time for the feeling to wear off.
Years ago, after enjoying the film, I borrowed a copy of the book, only to abandon it after the first story, The Half-Skinned Steer. And there's no doubt that one will put some readers off. But this time I read on, and I came to see what my friend meant. These are stories from the margins of society. Life is tough and dependent on fickle forces over which people have no control. As one farmer puts it, reality's never been much use out here, but hope is everything. I'm glad I persevered with it. The stories it contains are genuinely moving and made me consider life in a context I am grateful is not my own.
He was a friend of mine. He was a friend of mine.
Annie Prue's Close Range is in the R&IB Library, TB number 15355, and you can also find her Pulitzer Prize winning novel, The Shipping News, TB number 15748. Do you have a book that you feel might give me an education? I'm open to offers. Send me your suggestions via email. The address, once again, is readonair@rnib.org.uk.
This is Read On Air.